Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
We begin our new lesson today on the rationalizations that we give ourselves to look at pornography. This is part one of two, and this teaching series is from The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. This podcast series is just a sample of the upcoming book with the same name being released later this summer. The Sex Spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are in the addiction to pornography. And make no doubt about it, porn addiction is a series of predictable habits that we've created for ourselves. And when you know where you are in the habit, when you actually have a map that you can follow, then you can choose to exit this addiction. I promise you, you do. And you do have a choice. You've got many choices, in fact. And the good news is that there are multiple ways to exit this spiral. So in today's lesson, we're going to see how easy it is to rationalize our behavior before we commit the sin. We also discuss some of the most popular rationalizations so you can start becoming aware of the things that you might be telling yourself today. In this podcast, you're going to learn three things. Number one, the difference between rationalization and justification. Number two, why we only rationalize sin to ourselves. And number three, how to recognize the lie in rationalization and then replace that lie with truth. So let's get started with today's lesson. It's titled Pornography, Defiance, and Rationalization.
This is a piece of scripture that I read today, and it just jumped out at me. I've never seen it before like this, and I wanted to share it with you before we start. Genesis 4, chapter 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire for you, but you must rule over it. The New Living Translation says in verse 7, Genesis 4, 7, you will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Father, I pray tonight that we learn how to master sin, that we understand how and why we talk ourselves into these rationalizations tonight. But just like you told Cain here, that if we do well, we will be accepted. And if we don't do well, then sin is crouching at our door and its desire is for us. But we must subdue it. We must master it ourselves. And Lord, we can't do that without you. And so we beg, we ask that you would please show us how to do that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All righty, guys. Last week we talked about resistance. So here we go. We got number one, we got the awareness. Something is wrong. I'm vulnerable. I've got a couple options here. Once I know that I'm vulnerable to the temptation of sin, I can flee, pray, and confess. If I don't do that, then subconsciously I'm going to have a tape running in the back of my head, some unhealthy self-thoughts or unhealthy thoughts, or we can call this shame. That's going to fuel my drive to the temptation itself. Keep in mind the temptation is the desire. It's my desire to want to act out. Before I do that, we talked about resistance last week. Resistance is this idea to fight against something, right? To try and stop and prevent something from happening. It's fighting within your own willpower. And resistance, keep in mind, resistance, a lot of times we think that this is the only place that this whole thing is won or lost. If we stop here, if we flee, pray, and confess, if we stop here, then this whole thing is done. And I just want you to know that you can flee, pray, and confess at any one of these triggers. We learned last week that extended resistance only intensifies the pleasure. So the more I white knuckle this thing, the more I kind of resist against it, and I'm trying my very best to do that, and I can win a day, maybe a week, and a month comes along, and I'm still white knuckling, and I'm still resisting. All that does is when I finally do give in to it, it just simply heightens the pleasure once I actually act out, right? So rationalization. So I did not flee, pray, or confess here. So now I'm going to start rationalizing. I'm going to start talking myself into why this is a good idea. So key point number one, we'll start on your worksheets here. Key point number one is rationalization is talking yourself into committing the sin. Rationalization is talking yourself into committing the sin. Rationalization is what we tell ourselves before the sin. So justification is after the sin. It's the excuses we tell ourselves and a lot of times other people after we sin. We have justified what we have done. We're going to rationalize what we're getting ready to do. We're going to justify what we've done. And keep in mind, both rationalization and justification make no sense to the people listening to you whatsoever. Because both of these triggers are irrational. They make no sense to anyone but us. The excuses that we give ourselves are actually pretty absurd and ludicrous, and we'll get to that here in a second. Key point number two, when we rationalize sin, we tend to think about or describe our thoughts and behavior in a way that makes it seem more attractive than it is. Our behavior in a way that makes it more attractive than what it really is. The irony, of course, is that there is no rational explanation for what we're getting ready to do, for engaging in any kind of sin, right? There's no explanation for that, except that I just want to. And not only that, not do I just want to do it, but you can't tell me that I can't. I actually remember those words coming out of my mouth one day. I was talking to an old business partner, and this was in the midst of my first marriage and in the midst of my first affair. And I forget who I was telling, but it was something to the effect of, you can't tell me what to do. And it's just that sinful, rebellious, you know what I mean? And I look at this stuff now, and I just go, no wonder I ran my life into a ditch for so long, right? Key point number three. It's important to note here in this trigger that we are only rationalizing to ourselves. If we were to talk to another person about the actual conversation that takes place in our heads, they would invariably talk some sense into us. Now, we may not listen. That's not the point. The point is that most of us usually don't have long, extended conversations when we're at this trigger. Usually it's just one real quick conversation in our head. You know, it's like, oh, well, God will forgive me. Boom. And you go through that trigger that fast. Does that make sense? It's not like you've got this long conversation going. It's just boom, and then you're done. Key point number four. To understand the rationalization, we must understand the lie. We must understand the lie and then replace the lie with God's truth. To understand the rationalization, we must understand the lie and then replace the lie with God's truth. There is nothing rational about the excuses that we give ourselves. We simply are giving ourselves permission to sin. We are simply giving ourselves permission to sin. Why do we give ourselves permission to sin? Key point number five. Because rationalizations make it easier to commit the sin. Because rationalizations make it easier to commit the sin. So let's go over some of the examples that I've got listed there. I've had a bad day, so porn will comfort me. Anybody identify with that? Lots of head shaking, yes.
Sure. It could be a good day, too.
That's right. It could be a good day.
Just top it off.
Good, that's right. Good day is going to be a celebration. A bad day will comfort me. That's exactly right. But the reality is, when you think of rationalization, you have to understand that the rationalization that you tell yourself is an actual lie or it's a half-truth. It's never the full truth. So when you're at the rationalization phase, you have to train your brain enough to understand what the lie is or the half lie, and then almost like punch the rationalization in the face with full truth. So the rationalization here with I'm going to have a bad day, so the porn will comfort me. The truth is that there number one, there's no long-term comfort in isolation. Especially if we're talking about pornography or masturbation. And that's what we're getting ready to do. We're going to go isolate ourselves to commit the sin, right? And isn't it interesting that one of the most unusual punishments within the prison system is solitary confinement? So think of your home, think of your room, think of your office, think of wherever you commit your sin. It's like we purposely shut everybody else out to be alone to commit the sin. It's like a voluntary prison cell. That's the way that I always kind of pictured my apartment when I was in the midst of this stuff in Houston. And the other part of that lie is that it only comforts you for a short period of time. And then all of a sudden the guilt weighs in and then you feel twice as bad. Right? So the comfort is insatiable because you have to keep doing it over and over. What about, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not hurting anyone. You guys ever say that to yourself? Yeah. I'm not hurting anybody. Yeah, you are. Number one, you're hurting yourself because you're not engaging inside community in a real, authentic relationship. You're also hurting God in this vertical relationship with Him, because you're if it's pornography or whatever sexual sin it is, you're still taking the image of Almighty God, which is a woman, and abusing her for your own entertainment. So that's the relationship there that's damaged as well. And then lastly, whether we want to believe it or not, but we're actually fueling activities like prostitution, human trafficking, adult cabarets, sexual violence, and the list goes on and on and on. What about number three? Those people on the screen get paid lots of money. Anybody know how much these guys get paid?
No idea.
Take a guess.
The actors or the people that own the site?
No, the actors. Okay. The actors.
Or whatever you want to call them.
The actors, right? Yeah. Take a guess. How much? How much is a lot of money?
Per episode?
Per movie, how much do they...
Per movie, I'm going to say $2,500.
Per scene is what they say, per scene.
Per scene?
Per scene.
$1,000 a scene?
I don't know how long the scenes are, but usually they start off around $300.
Oh, that's pretty low.
Well, so we have this idea, that these guys are making millions of dollars by having sex and being abused on screen, but the reality is that starting at $300, especially when these women are mostly runaways or they've been sexually abused or beaten at home, so they have to do something like this to even survive. What about no one will ever know? No one will ever know.
Social media.
Well, think about it. You do. Number one, you know.
NSA knows.
Yeah. They're watching.
That's right. NSA knows. The person of interest, guys, they know. God knows. And if you're married, your spouse knows. She may not know exactly what's going on, but she knows something's wrong. I listed some verses there, Psalm 44:21, Luke 8:17. You guys can look at those. Those are going to be part of your plan for this week.
It's so easy for us to believe these lies when we're isolated and alone, isn't it? And that's exactly what pornography does. It gets us away from the very people that we love the most. And then we start rationalizing all these crazy, stupid, silly thoughts, and they flood our mind as to why looking at pornography is a good idea. Well, there's nothing good that comes from pornography. It'll flat out ruin your life. It's demonic and it's evil, and it distorts the very image of God. How do I know it's going to ruin your life? Well, because I've been there, and I actually stayed inside this spiral for over 20 years of my life, and it ruined hundreds of relationships. It ruined my career. It ruined my finances. And there really, you know what? There's not one part of my life that this sin, that this bondage, this addiction did not touch, not one. And in fact, I'm still recovering to this day by the grace of Almighty God. And that's why I'm producing these podcasts, so that you don't have to make the same stupid mistakes that I did. And you know, one of those mistakes included not locking down my laptop with internet filters. Well, now that I think about it, the reality is that I didn't want to, right? I wanted to look at pornography, and you or nobody, you couldn't tell me otherwise. See, I was defiant, but defiance only lasts so long if you're a child of God. He won't let you wallow in the cesspool of your sin forever. He loves you too much. He's going to start disciplining you out of love. So yes, you do have choices, and you can either put a filter on your digital device now, or you can do it later. I've personally used Covenant Eyes accountability and filtering software for years, and it allows me to avoid exposing myself and my family, my wife, my friends from the evils of pornography. So let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you can test it for it with a free trial, 30-day free trial. Just put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting this podcast and the ministry. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's for everyone, men, women, husbands, and wives. Everyone is welcome. You're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. You can rate this show on iTunes, and you can email me your questions. I would love to respond to those. DustinDanielsRadio.com is where you can email me. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living, living in God's power. And that power, it's the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.